Jersey is populated with a lot of people, more cars than people, actually. And when he said Caldwell, there was a guy I knew personally that I'd gone to the Philippines with, and I wondered if he was at that church. So I named the name of the pastor, and Chad's mouth almost dropped. Like, how in the world could you know the pastor that I've been working for a few years? Well, needless to say, the pastor that he was working for is a character. To say the least, he's a character. He is a different person. He's a fool for Jesus, I can say that. He loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we had stories to share. Good stories, of course. But we were talking about the character, the pastor. And that's what's so fun, that you can get to know folks. Well, Chad took over the RU program in Milford, Ohio. We have an RU program here. Chad was a guest speaker last year at the Loving and Leading Conference. I had a chance to be in Chad's lesson, his session. We took a picture together. I shared it on Facebook all over the world. Just kidding. And found out that Chad was going to be in Holland, New York at Emily's dad's church as a guest speaker this week. So when we found that out, I said, hey, could you come by here? And he said, sure, that'd be great. So Brad has been at a church in Pennsylvania for 19 years. Chad went down to that church, how many years ago? 5 years ago. Pastor Bill Dutry, who preached our 40th anniversary, his son is Chad's assistant pastor. See how cool that all is? How God just puts the family of God together how he wants to. And it's fun. It's exciting to be a part of that. And I'm glad you're here. I'm sure Chad will encourage us, bless us with the word of God. We're thankful that you're here. So Chad now has been exposed to our location, the opportunities we have here in Lancaster. And whenever you think of us, pray for us, would you? All right. We're excited to have you with us tonight. Preach to us, would you?
All right. Well, I'm thrilled to be with you tonight. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Pastor, for allowing me to preach here. Are we good? It's not on? I got a green light up here. Hello? All right. It's on? All right. Wonderful. All right, Joshua chapter 23, if you would turn there tonight. Joshua 23, you can go ahead and find Joshua chapter 1 as well. And yes, I am thrilled to be here. I got to have the opportunity, as he just mentioned, to get to know your pastor over the years. And it sounds like you, maybe some of you have gotten to know my father. He described my mother as a good cook. If you've ever met my father and you've now met me, you know neither one of us are small men, so it goes hand in hand. She must be a good cook. So that's kind of where all that started. So, but I'm thrilled what God's doing here at your church. I got to talk to your pastor before, and he's telling me about the land that you have here and things like that. What a blessing it is. Your RU ministry, I don't know. How long have you had RU, did you say? 9 years, okay. And I was involved in ours in Ohio for 3 years. And that was one of the highlights in my ministry life with my wife. Every Friday night for 3 years, we got to serve the Lord together in that ministry. We got to watch God completely transform lives. And every once in a while, I get the opportunity to go back to Milford, Ohio, and maybe I'm preaching or just visiting because that's where my parents live and we're going back for Christmas or something. And I'll go into church and I'll see individuals still in church, still serving the Lord, who I met for the first time on a Friday night, who when they walked in the door, they felt that there was no hope for them and that this was about it for them. And then they met Jesus. And what Brad just sang about, Jesus never fails. And it's true. I think you're here tonight on a Wednesday night. You know that. He never fails. And it might be difficult. We might wonder what's happening and what journey is he taking me down. But the truth is, he never fails. And so we want to look a little bit about that thought tonight. And not necessarily that thought when we talk about Jesus never fails, but we could understand God and His Word and how faithful God is through His Word. I want to use the life of Joshua, if I could, this evening. And what's happening here in this moment in Joshua's life, in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua is coming to the end of his life. And so now he is going to challenge Israel on some things that they need to do in order to continue advancing for God. I think you would agree with this. God desires you to advance. Do you agree with that tonight? All right, he doesn't want us to be stagnant. He doesn't want us to stop growing in our Christian life. Everything about our Christian life is to be lived forward. It's to be lived on purpose. It's to be advancing with God. And so God would desire that for every one of us. Joshua, the entire book of Joshua, is really about advancement, is it not? It's about God giving victory. Joshua following Moses, he steps up into that leadership. We'll look at that in a few moments. And he continues to take God's children on a journey, conquering the land, taking what God would have for them to take, advancing in their walk. And now he's at the end of his life, and he's going to challenge them, the children of Israel, on how they need to continue advancing for God. All right, it might be a little lengthy tonight. I don't know how long we often spend reading the Scripture, but I want to read all of Joshua 23. If you would let me do that tonight. And you might be a little bit like myself. Sometimes I start reading, and boy, my mind starts to wander a little bit. Has that ever happened to you, Pastor? You start reading? No, oh no. All right? And my mind will go off on all these different areas, all right? Let's try to stay engaged here in Joshua 23. Let's consider, with that context, Joshua coming to the end of his life and the challenge that he gives to the children of Israel. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and was stricken in age. And Joshua called all Israel for their elders and their heads and their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes and for Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. Verse 5, and the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations." That is very important in our story. And if we're not going to get to it tonight, but that is very important when you get to the book of Judges. All right, but here's what he says, "that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you." Everybody look here for just a moment. If you've lost sight of where we are in the story, Joshua is telling them, listen, this is what God has done for you, and this is what God is going to continue to do for you. And so he's really giving them this pep talk at the end of his life. And here, do you know what he's saying? God wants you to advance. God wants you to continue taking the land. God will give you victory. Verse number 11. "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off the good land which the Lord your God hath given you." And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Let's pray together tonight, and we'll jump right in here and get the context. Lord God, we do love you, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you have gathered us here tonight. Lord, I firmly believe that every time the church gathers together, you desire to speak to us. Lord, you speak to us through your word. Now, you might use a man as an instrument to communicate some truth, but the reality is, if anything is going to happen in our hearts here tonight, it will be because of the word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us to be very attentive to your words, not my words, not the words of someone else, Lord, but your words. And I pray that we would recognize that your word truly changes our life. And I pray that you'd help us now give me clarity, and I pray that you'd give the listener clarity as well. Thank you for Pastor Scheer, Lord. Thank you for his leadership here. Thank you for this church and what you're doing here in this town for your honor and glory. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to continue to follow you in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take just a few moments tonight. I understand it is Wednesday evening. Maybe you're midweek here. It's been a difficult week for you. Maybe it's been a tremendous week. Great day today, right? Beautiful weather. And we had a drive from Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania, just north of Philadelphia today. And I got in town and we went straight to New Era Field. And so we went there. I wanted to see where the Bills play. I just watched a documentary recently. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I watched a documentary recently, and I reviewed how the Bills went to 4 Super Bowls in a row and sadly lost them all. But I got really interested in the Buffalo Bills. I knew I was coming up here, so we went straight to the field, and I wasn't able to see the field necessarily, but we went to the gift shop there. And then we went to Taffy's, right? And I got a foot-long hot dog today. That's not really good dietary information, but we went there, and I experienced that. I don't know if you know where that is or not, but we went there. They have milkshakes, I heard, but I didn't get one of those. So I'm experiencing the culture here, and apparently it's hot dogs so far. So, all right, we're enjoying our time here. Thank you so much, Pastor, once again, for letting us be here tonight. Here's what we're looking at tonight: the opportunity that God has given us to advance in our life. I want to look at some principles, some things that Joshua was telling Israel, and maybe we could immediately apply them to our life and understand the same thing that God desired for Israel is the same thing he desires for us today, and that we would have a victorious Christian life. God did not save you to then send you back into bondage, right? God did not save you to leave you and not grow and advance in your Christian life. In fact, Paul said in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." And Israel needed to do that same thing. They needed to forget those things of old, and they need to reach forth and get in advancing what God would give them in their life. And so here's what I'd like you to do. Maybe you have a pen, maybe you don't. I tell our church this. I know you probably have your phone. I pray you're not doing anything else but listening tonight. But even if you need to text these to yourself to remember these, this would be fine. Number one, consider this from our passage tonight. If we're going to advance with God, number one, remember the victories, right? Just write that thought down. Remember the victories. As Joshua is here in his last days, he takes them in verses 1-3, but really verse number 3, and he reminds them of victories that God has given them. Look, if you would, at verse number 3, and look at the wording. Joshua says, "And ye have seen." Now, I'm not a great English scholar, but I believe that is past tense. Is that right, class? Right, that is a past tense in verbs. So here's what he says. "Ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done." The entire thing that Joshua was talking about with them is in their past, the past victories. It's very important for us to remember past victories. Look what he says. "You have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." The first thing we find in Joshua's giving them this instruction, it's that it's very important that we remember the past victories that God has given us. They needed to remember, because as they were going to advance, as they were going to go forward, inevitably we're going to see there are other battles ahead of them. And Joshua is going to tell them that God is going to fight for you, but you need to remember as you're advancing that God has already given you victory in your life. So here you are tonight on this Wednesday night, and you might be looking at a mountain in front of you wondering, can I have victory over that in my life? The answer to the question, with God, all things are possible, and you can have victory in that, but you might need to stop and remember the victory he's already given you. Well, let's think about this for a moment. God has given you, if you're a child of God, God has given you victory over death and hell. That's a wonderful privilege, is it not? You have victory today. You can be rest assured, child of God. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Not only have you been delivered from death and hell, you have been delivered from the bondage of sin. I do not have to serve sin any longer. I am a servant of the child of God. Right? So I have had victory in my life. You have had victory in your life. Deuteronomy 6:21, think of the children of Israel and their life. For them, their victory was Egypt, right? God gave them victory over Egypt. Deuteronomy 6:21, "Then thou shalt say unto thy sons, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand." There it is again, communication about past victories in our life. If we are going to go forward and allow God to take us forward, we have to stop and we have to recognize or remember the victories that God has already given us. I want to show you one more thing in this passage, because many other things, but one more before we get off this first thought. Joshua's thought is made very clear throughout this passage. Joshua's thought is that he needed the children of Israel to remember it was the Lord that was giving them victory, not Joshua. You understand that? Now, I want to be very careful in this. God has given you a wonderful leader as a pastor, and you are going to, in following him, watch victory after victory after victory happen. But I know your pastor well enough that he is just simply pointing you to the chief shepherd, and we all need to understand that it is God that gives us the victory. And look, if you would, at Joshua chapter 23. We've already read it. But I want to point this out to you, how many times Joshua tells them, "Hey, Israel, this is your God." Look, if you would, at verse number 3. He says, "Ye have seen all that the Lord your God," down later in that verse, he says, "because of you, for the Lord your God." Look at verse number 5, if you would. He says, "And the Lord your God he shall expel." Look at the end of verse number 5. He says, "As the Lord your God hath promised unto you." Verse number 8. "But cleave unto the Lord your God." Verse number 10, "One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord," say it with me, class, "your God." Verse number 11, "Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord," say it with me, "your God," over and over. He says it again in verse 13. He says it again at the end of verse number 13. He says it in verse number 14. He says it in verse number 15. He says it in verse number 16. Almost every verse, not everyone, but almost everyone in this chapter, you know what Joshua is saying in this farewell address to them? "Listen, Israel, it is your God that has fought for you. He is the one that has given you the victory." I think Joshua is helping them understand something. "I am going the way of all the earth," he says, "but you need to understand all these victories, all these things that have accumulated in my lifetime, that was all from God." And so we need to stop and we need to recognize the victories that God has brought into our life. Psalm 118, verse number 8 says this, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And what Joshua is helping them understand is you have to look past man and you have to recognize that it is God that gives victory. And I want to encourage you tonight, class, as we move forward with God, as we allow Him to give us victories, recognize that He has already given us victory in the past, and He was faithful in the past, and He will be faithful in the future, and He is our God personally. He is the one that is fighting for us. And so if we're going to move forward, if we're going to advance, Joshua says, remember the victories. Number two, write this down. This is important as you move forward in your walk with the Lord. Remember the promises. Remember the promises. When we get to verse number 5, look what he says in verse 5. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you and drive them forth out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Boy, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that as I am walking with God and He is taking me on His journey and I'm just following Him, I get into this place and all of a sudden it starts getting a little bit scary. It gets a little dark. It gets a little unknown. Have you ever been there? Am I the only one in the room? You've never, maybe, you know, do I want to take that next step with Him or do I want to take a couple steps back? And you know what helps me along the journey? Well, I remember victories He's given me, but something that helps me more than remembering the victories is remembering the promises that God has already given me. Remembering the promise that God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remembering the promise that God is there with me all along the journey. Complete and total victory had not been given to Israel. There were still enemies of God in the land, but that wasn't a problem for God. Just as He had already given them victory, He had already promised them victory in the future. Joshua, did I ask you to find Joshua chapter 1 when I first started? All right, so let's go back to Joshua 1 together. Hold your place in 23 because we're coming back to it. And if you're watching the time, don't worry. Your pastor told me to be done by 9:30, so we'll be finished. We'll be out of here. I'm just kidding. All right, Joshua chapter number 1. The promise of God was that He was going to erase the enemy from before them. Joshua knew that. Joshua had already received that instruction from God. And you know what Joshua was doing in Joshua chapter 23? He was just passing on information to the people that had been given to him from God. Do you know what your pastor does here every week of his life? He is just passing on information to you that God has already given in His Word. Right? And that's what Joshua was doing. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them. Is that a promise right there? He says, I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Here's a promise. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I don't know if you caught it, but really verses 2 through 5 is a complete promise from God. God told Joshua, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you victory. I'm going to advance you. I'm going to allow you victories in this land. But here's what's going to happen through that. We have the promise, but the trials, the tribulations, the difficulties, church, they're always going to arise in our life. We can be victorious in our life, but we will never be victorious if we're fighting on our own. But we can be victorious if we will rest on the promises of God, if we will make advancements based on the promises of God. And according to the Word of God, and according to many accounts that I've been able to find, you might have another one, we can talk about it after church, but there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. The word promise appears 50 times in the King James Bible, but 3,573 promises in the Word of God. Now, you might find 3,574. I'm not splitting hairs with you tonight. Here's the fact. This Word is full of promises that you and I need to look at in our life. We need to recognize that those promises God has given, and those promises will help us as we advance walking with Him on a daily basis. Here's what I know about the promise of God. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I don't know about you, but how am I going to get up and face tomorrow? I'm basing it upon his promises. How am I going to advance with him? I'm basing it on his promises. Hey, how am I going to be an obedient Christian tomorrow? I'm going to get up and I'm going to base every act of my life upon the promise of God. I want to encourage you tonight, rest in the promise of God. Remember the victories of God and rest in the promise of God. I need to move quickly. Number three, I want to give you this. How do I advance? Joshua's encouragement. Remember the victories. Remember the promises. Thirdly, this is very important. If you don't hear anything I say tonight, please hear these words. Obey his word. How do I get victory in my life? Obey his word. Look back at Joshua 23, verse number 6. Hold your place in Joshua 1 if you can. 23 and verse number 6. Look what Joshua says to them. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do. What's that next word if you're there? Say it with me on three. One, two, three. All. Let's try that again. One, two, three. All. You know what he just said? He said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to keep and you're going to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefore from the right hand or to the left. Joshua says, if you're going to advance, there is a key ingredient that you are going to do all that is written in the law of Moses. He says you're not going to turn from the right hand nor to the left. You know what Joshua just said? There are no shortcuts. There are no omissions. There are no exceptions. Time out in the sermon. We are really good at exceptions, aren't we? All right, we are like the exception to the rule. Now, I want to give you a quick commercial. If you're not an advocate of this man, no problem at all here. All right, not a problem at all. But I like to, on a weekly basis, listen to some podcasts. I do that on a daily basis, really. But on a weekly basis, I like to get in a couple Dave Ramsey podcasts. I don't know if you know anything about Dave Ramsey, but he's a money guru. And people will call in and they'll ask him questions. He has these baby steps that you need to follow to get yourself out of debt. It's really a good principle to kind of follow in life. But here's what I love. People will call in and they'll say, Dave, listen, I've heard of your baby steps. And I'm all following your baby steps, but... And then they'll give their exception to the rule. Like, I know you've got this all figured out, but you never heard of my circumstance. Now, why would I talk about that? Because we often, if we aren't careful, church, we approach the Word of God the same way. We're like, God, I know your Word says this, and I know these are life truths that I must follow, but you haven't really paid attention to my circumstance in life. And here's what Joshua is saying to them. As you advance, you have to follow everything that is written in this book. If you want victory, if you want the enemies gone from before you, you can't turn from the right or the left. You must do according to all that is written therein. And if you're here tonight and you are here, I want to encourage you with this. Do everything that's written in the Word of God. Don't think, well, that was good for them, or that was good for my pastor, or that's good for those folks. No, it is everything that is in this book needs to be applied to my life, and applying this book to our life produces victory. Isn't that amazing how that works? And God gives victory where He desires victory in our life. I was thinking about this as I was reading, and I was considering what I've read in other places, and you know what I realized? Joshua, there at the end of his life, is telling them, don't turn from the right or the left. Do all that's written in the Word of God. And I started thinking about what God told him all the way back in Joshua chapter number 1. Think about this, if you would. Joshua 1:7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all. There it is again. You know what Joshua was doing at the end of his life? He was just simply saying, hey, Israel, I'm going to tell you what God told me years ago. You want victory? Do according to all that is written in the book. You know what it says there? He says, turn not from it the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Your Bible in Joshua 23:6 reads almost word for word like Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. So here Joshua is the beginning of his leadership, getting word from God to do all, and he's leaving with Israel exactly what God told him to do. Joshua 1:8 might sound familiar. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Are you students? Are there anybody in here that maybe you came to this church and you serve in RU in any way? How you're involved in RU? Anybody in here tonight? All right. Talk one. Maybe you do something like this. I don't know. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Think about this. But his delight is in what? And in his law doth he meditate. And then you get to the next verse. You know what he says? And that man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Psalm 1, Brad's here tonight. He knows I try to work Psalm 1 into almost every sermon. Because you know what happens? He's literally saying, if you will take the word of God and you will follow the word of God, you're going to be like that tree that's planted by the river of water. And that tree has a constant source of nourishment in its life. You know what Joshua was telling him? You know what God told Joshua? And then Joshua told Israel, if you'll just do everything that the word says, your life will be prosperous. You'll have victory in your life. And we're gathered here tonight, and the most basic way that I could say to you tonight, class, would you determine that you are going to follow the truth in the Word of God? No shortcuts, no omissions, no exceptions. Keep and do all that is written. Successful advancement is only possible when we are completely and wholly following the Word of God in our life. I want to give you one last one. You're lucky because I have three more. I'm only going to give you one more tonight, all right? One more. Look at verse number 7. He says, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Look what he says in verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Number 4, how do I advance? Here it is. Pursue God. Just write those simple words down. Pursue God. He says that you would, in verse number 8, he says that you would cleave unto the Lord. That word cleave is to cling, to be joined together, to pursue closely, to abide fast. The warning in verse number 7 is this. The temptation to join with other nations is going to be there. He tells them in verse number 7, the temptation to utter the name of those gods, to join up with those gods, that's going to be present. But here's what we must do. We must cleave unto the Lord our God. That means that we are going to pursue God. Think about this. How could Israel come among these other nations if they are cleaving to and they are pursuing God? You know, I want to tell you a little illustration about my life. I went off to Bible college. And when I got to Bible college, I knew one other person. And that person today is my wife. It worked out great. We were going to the same Bible college. Her dad is my pastor. And so as I am going to Bible college, I knew she was going there. I got there and I didn't know anybody. So I started spending a little time with her. And I spent like 3 hours with her and I thought, she is great. She's pretty. She talks to me. I'm not going to let her talk to anybody else. Do you know what happened when I was in Bible college? I started pursuing her. I went to school and there were a few hundred other girls at that school. Do you know what? I didn't care about any of the rest of them. I didn't really have many conversations with many of them. Not that I was hateful to them. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I was pursuing one. And all of my attention and all of my time went to her. I went through 3 years of Bible college. We got married between our third and fourth year. We started our life together. We've been married now 15 years. I've not looked back one time. I haven't looked for anyone else. I am pursuing her. I am in love with her. I don't have time for any. I don't want anyone else. I don't have time for it. Are you following that? Think about this. God was helping them. Joshua was helping them as you advance. These other gods are going to be represented. These other nations are still in the land. But you just pursue God and you claim his promises and you understand the victories. And as you pursue God, he's going to drive them out from before you. But the moment you take your eyes off of God, the moment you start looking at these other nations, the moment you join up to these other nations, he ends that chapter 23, by helping them understand God is a just God. And there are consequences for not yielding to the truth of the Word of God. And I want to encourage you here tonight. God desires every one of you and this church to advance in His name. God desires you to be victorious. I believe this about this church. I believe your pastor believes this as well. This church preaching the Word of God will be victorious. You applying the Word of God to your life, you will be victorious. A victory might look a little different than you have thought it would look. But needless to say, if you're following God, it's victory. And Joshua's advice is this: pursue God. Cleave to God. Pursue closely. Chase after Him like someone. Get your eyes fixed on Him. Be passionate about what He is passionate about. Boy, we are a people pursuing many things, aren't we? Think of all the time and energy that we will invest and other things outside of pursuing God. And here you are on this Wednesday night, and I say this often to our church on Wednesdays, I don't question whether you love God. I don't question that. I believe you love God. Why else would you have come here tonight, right? You love God. You love His Word. We're human. We have other things that are bidding for our time and our attention. We have questions and doubts sometimes. Should I apply this or should I not? And here I am, one opportunity to preach to you, and I want to encourage you here tonight. We must understand God has given us victories in the past. God has given us promises innumerable that we can apply to our life. God's desire and God's plan is that you and I would obey His Word. And God's desire and plan is that we would pursue Him and not turn from the right, not turn from the left. Keep our eyes fixed on Him and allow Him to take us into that land of victory. I believe this, church. God wants you to enjoy the blessings. He actually said in John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy." Jesus says, "I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it," what? "More abundantly." He wants you to have an abundant life. That doesn't mean filled with goods and no. He wants you to have a joyful, abundant life. We are in, is it Lancaster or Lancaster? Lancaster. See, Brad, I was right. Thank you. In Pennsylvania, they say Lancaster, Pennsylvania. But here we are, Lancaster, right? Good. All right, wonderful. I believe that the people in this room, I believe this, you ought to be the most joy-filled, passionate people in Lancaster. Nobody has more to live for than you do. Nobody has more should have more perspective and direction for their life than you. Nobody should have a reason to get up in the morning and live a victorious life more than you do. Because you've seen victories in your life. You've seen where God has brought you from. You've seen what He's done in your family. You're watching Him transform you into the person He is desiring and making you to be. You have the promises of God, and you can claim those promises on a daily basis. You have the opportunity to be obedient and follow Him where He wants you to follow Him. And I want to encourage you in that thought. Whatever you do, don't stop pursuing God. Don't go into autopilot on your Christian life. You know what Joshua was saying at the end of his life? Just pursue Him. He'll take you to victory. Don't stop obeying. Just follow God. He will bring you to the victory He desires for you. Let's surrender to Him tonight in full obedience. I want to encourage you, move forward with Him by faith. Let's pray together tonight. Lord Jesus, I do love You, and I thank You for the opportunity to read and study Your Word tonight. And God, I thank You for the attentiveness of Your people. But Lord, do us good, that we not only hear the Word of God, but Lord, we would be obedient doers of the Word. We would apply the Word of God. And Lord, I pray this has been a blessing and a help and an encouragement tonight. And I thank you for the opportunity just to open your Word for a few moments. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit has been working in our hearts and that we've surrendered. I pray you would bless this church. And Lord, I pray the best days of this church are ahead of them. And I pray that you'd give them faith and obedient surrender. Lord, I pray they'd follow you faithfully daily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brad, would you mind leading our invitation song? Stand, if you would, open your hymn books to 271, Standing on the Promises. Do you know it? No, knew you do. If you'd, Charlene could play the piano. This way, all you have to do is sing it, follow the words. That would work. You know, the Bible says that there are a lot of things that are better than, or much more. In the book of 1 Samuel, it talks about something as better than sacrifices. It says, to blank is better than burnt offerings. Does anybody know what that word is to fill in the blank? To obey is better than sacrifice. So there are some things in the Word of God that are key, that are not hard, that are not difficult, except to live them. It's not that we can't understand them. It's just hard to live them, right? It's ironic. As Chad was in my office, we were talking about our Begin Finishing Well conference. Joshua began in Joshua 1. And Joshua ended in Joshua 24. And it seems like he began and ended in the exact same place. Right? God began him with these principles. God ended Joshua by reinforcing the same exact principles. Isn't that cool? It's cool. So we'll sing.
Page 271, Standing on the Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Sing it out like you believe it. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm the last. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate you doing that and being up here with your pastor. You may be seated.